The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guests, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler. And today we're going to be talking about how to grow your business by re-energizing it. Now, why would we be talking like that? You know, it's easy to start a business, and it may be easier to have a really large one with all kinds of support, but boy, in that middle zone, in that mid-market company, for a lot of people, it's just work, 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 work. And one of the things that's a challenge is, even when you're getting worn out, how do you keep the energy level so that you can attract great talent, attract the kind of customers that will make a difference? How do you keep it feeling fresh and new? So quarter after the hour, I'm going to be introducing a guest that I've chosen because I think she's kind of like the poster child of being able to have this renewal for a business that's pretty tough. I mean, Leslie Mills is going to be on the radio with us talking about a couple of her companies that she's run. She's in home health care. Think about that. You know, you're placing people out in the field at somebody's home, and, you know, and they're sick, and they're complaining, and they have problems, and the multi-generational issues, and who wants to do the type of work where you're having to go out and take care of sick people, and how do you find them, and all the insurance issues. You can just feel how difficult it is. So if you were the owner of a company with multiple locations, how do you end up being the premier provider in your state? So she knows something that we need to hear. So to open the program, what I'd like to do is work with the word energize. And these are some things that I've found that have helped my clients over 35 years who have been growing their businesses and having to re-energize what they have. Let's use the first letter, in the E in energize. I think it's important to envision an enterprise. A lot of people are getting into trouble because what they're doing is they're focusing so much on the doing, so much on the delivery of service, being the lead engineer, or being the lead writer, or being the lead whatever it is, and they're not really being presidential. They're not being a CEO. And they're in, whatever you're envisioning, whatever you have in the back of your head, you start creating. So if all you can imagine is a small company, or all you can imagine is one that is working with low technology or tight margins, that's what you have. One of the first secrets to growing the business and to having energy behind it is to think of something big enough, think of something that is beyond what you could ever possibly do, so you, therefore you would need people, and therefore you would need money. And I personally think that there's a need to have like an equal mix of being afraid and excited, not just busy. Are you doing something that scares you? It's a little, you don't know what you're doing, you've never been here before, you're going to need to ask for some help, maybe you need to go back to school. That energy around, I don't know what I'm doing, is a little scary, but it's extremely positive in driving the growth of the business because you clearly are going to need people. Your employees are going to be needed. Your outside advisors are going to be needed because you're not so cocky you think you have all the answers. And are you excited about it? Is the business that you're doing meaningful? Is it providing something that the folks out there around you can't get in an appropriate way, or if they do, they really do need another answer. It needs to be done better. Are you making a difference? Even if your primary motivator is for money, are you doing something that excites you? Like the studies that show that 60-65% of the people out there hate their jobs, every time I see that, it blows my mind. How can you have energy if you're doing something that you hate? So I think to envision an enterprise and having some excitement about it matters. The N in energize. Notice the nuances. And what am I talking about? The things that customers really want, the things they really value. You can go crazy perfecting some big organized plan or a whole process or all the packaging and blow it on some little thing that the customer really wanted. Take, for example, the pharmaceutical companies and the pharmacies. They spend all kinds of money on the product, on the pills, on the descriptions, but if they have tiny little print on the instructions and on the warnings for the patient, they're in trouble. If they don't have a cap at the top that you can actually get open when you're older and have arthritic hands, you kind of miss the nuances. If it's not usable for the customers, you can have a negative perception in the marketplace so quickly. So, all right, you can't notice all the nuances. You have to ask. And I think a lot of mid-market companies forget to do customer advisory councils or focus groups. You can get information about some little things that's not going to cost you a lot that can turn all your investment, your millions of dollars of investment in a product or a service, totally around into something very profitable if you just did that one more thing, one additional thing to make it more usable. The next D in energize. How about emphasize the elements that encourage expansion? Again, some of us are so busy with the doing that we have this long list of things that we have to get done. And at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the quarter, did you truly advance your business toward the new market that you said you were going after? Did you truly advance the new product you said you were going to launch? Did you truly change, you know, raise the bar on the employees that you have? I mean, you wanted to have a higher percentage of A players, as they call it. The things that encourage expansion are having bright people that are driving the growth of your business, having products that are hot, cutting edge, things that people are asking for, solving a problem. Today's problems lead to tomorrow's products. Take a look at your list. Instead of having it be this whole list of activities, can you rank order what are the one or two things that are at the top of your list this month that would change the business? Which would have the impact that you need? And make sure that you're spending the money and time on the things that would encourage expansion of your business. The R in energize. Well, you could call it re-engineer or reallocate. I'm going to use the word reallocate repeatedly. Huh? All right, so we're trying to renew. Sometimes it takes restructuring the business. Sometimes it takes looking at it and making sure you've got the right level of persons, particularly, say, in an accounting department. Those of us in the mid-market companies, if you haven't been thinking about a controller, a real one, somebody who has that ability to not just pump out the financial statements, but can analyze the ratios and help you with some of those prioritizations of, you know, what can you do to encourage expansion. If you don't have somebody who is analytical and can help you think, and you just have a bean counter, a number cruncher, that ain't going to work. Let me give you a more fun example of what you can do to reallocate. I call it the $5,000 flip. You can take a look at your chart of accounts, no matter how small a budget you have. Kind of one by one by one, just stare at it and look. And I used to do it once a quarter, now I do it once a month. Just stare at it and ask yourself if your money is being spent in an old way. And how could you reallocate something as small as $5,000? I call it a $5,000 flip. How could you reallocate $5,000 that month to something more new? So you hit, I'm going to give you an example, you hit the marketing budget and you stare at it, the public relations budget. And you think about how you're doing your press releases or how you're, maybe you're not even doing that. What's a more current way for you to get media coverage for your business and have public relations? Is there a new, hotter way to do the press releases? Can you subscribe to PR lead service and have them come to you? Can you change the formatting of your press release so it has some energy to it? Take another look. Years ago, it would have been you spotted the equipment budget and you looked at it and said, gosh, we have typewriters, it's time for the computers. There's similar things to that. Take a look at what you're using when you travel. Is your PDA the type that can take wireless email messages so that you're not doing something inefficient like having to call in by on a hard line when you're at the hotels and pay exorbitant fees to the hotels for use of their phone lines? There are so many things that you can do if you just stare at your chart of accounts one by one by one and go after it a little at a time, and it's not a lot of money. Just each month, you can work from department to department to department to say, okay, it's your turn. We're going to find how to flip $5,000 from the old way of doing things to the new. And it's very renewing. The G in energize would be go after the goals. There's a lot of people that are spending so much time and effort on maintaining the clients, maintaining their current customer base, but not really thinking about, you know what, there's a big account out there that would be very profitable for us. That would be the sweet spot that could make the difference in this business. And what if this month we focused on how do we go after that big account we've just been talking about for years? The I is one that I think we're going to have a lot of conversation with Leslie about. That's involve and invest. You've got to invest in your people. They're going to be expensive. It's a large part of all of our budgets. How do you involve the people that you've brought in in your major decisions so that they know you care, that they can make a difference, that it matters. That's important. All right, how about the Z? This is a funny one. Kind of picture yourself, you know, being the captain of your enterprise, and it's a spaceship. How do you zigzag and zoom? How do you stay flexible? Think about, you know, if your business is doing the same thing that it was 10 years ago, you probably aren't noticing what the marketplace is doing. I'm going to ask Leslie how she's, you know, managed to stay in home health care in Connecticut, and I'm going to ask her specifically about her experience in New Haven. You got to be flexible. I mean, our example was we had an office in North Carolina, and one of the things that happened to us that was a surprise is that people would say back to us, "We're not really doing business with you because you're too local." No, that's not really how they said it. They said, "You're too local." I thought they were telling me I was crazy at first. How could somebody named Aldana, who has the pronunciation that I do, who has her office headquartered in New Jersey, be too local? Well, apparently, if you have, in this case, in the year we put it there, if you have a branch office right in that community, having a strategic planner in their town is too local. We moved that office to Florida, and the North Carolina business picked up. We had to be flexible enough to actually hear what customers said. And the last E, and energize, enjoy the evolution through experimentation. You're not going to be right every time. If you have a slush fund, a budget that for R&D or for experimentation, for trying things, then you don't have to be right every time. If you have to be right every time, you're going to get scared. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amber. We will be right back with our guest.
You're listening to The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business. If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Listen wherever you are. 24-hour business and financial news. Solid, focused, and informed. The leader in business talk. Voice America Business at VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Dare. You're on the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw a headlight.
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk.
Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler. Now, you know we're trying to expand the repertoire of growth strategies available to mid-market companies. That's what we're doing. And I think the way to say that in English is some of us are working a little too hard for too little money. And so this show is for us to expand some ideas so we know how to do it with a little more fun. So today's guest, Leslie Mills. Hello.
Good morning, America. I have always wanted to say that.
And we sound like a TV show, huh? Actually, you know what, Leslie? What's interesting about having an internet radio program is I'm having guests from all over the world, and we get these emails from different countries. It is such a rush. It's so cool. So what
have you spreading American marketing magic worldwide.
Well, with your British accent, we're sound even more international, right? Where are you originally from, by the way?
I grew up in England and then came to college in this country. So.
Where'd you go to college?
At Yale.
Oh, that's a nice school.
Yes.
And you were studying healthcare or what?
Yes, actually operations research and computer science. That's my training background, but very quickly segued into the application of those in the healthcare field.
Because if I remember your resume right after school, you were doing DRGs, and some people who aren't in healthcare don't know that that's like the current national Medicare hospital reimbursement system model. I mean, you were defining those?
Yes. It took people think that they sprang full-grown from the head of Zeus, but they really didn't. It took about 14 years of research at Yale, and then that segued over to a computer company that I had started. And we had to start by writing our own computer languages to analyze millions and millions of patient records, because what it did was change the reimbursement methodology from a per diem reimbursement, mm-hmm. that is, hospitals would get reimbursed the same amount regardless of what they did for you, they differentiate between surgical and non-surgical, to 318 at the time, different types of patients. And so hospitals would be reimbursed according to the complexity of their case mix, which is how we purchase every other type of good and service.
I was thinking about that for some professional services, you know, like do you pay for your taxes or do you pay per hour for the accountant to do it? And where's the, you know, it's like a disincentive for the accountant to get it done quickly if you pay by the hour.
Same thing. If you were reimbursing a hospital on cost plus, which mm-hmm. is how they were being reimbursed, guess what was happening? We were looking at, you know, 15, 18, 20% increase. They say that the application of DRGs into healthcare extended the Medicare Trust Fund by 18 years.
I can believe it. Now, it's so different from what you currently do. I know you're really bright, and I can picture you making a difference, and it's good that you were there, but you're such a social animal. So that doing that type of work must, you know, did you discover that you just had to get released and do something else, or how did you get into the current business that you're in?
I actually segued through. I went through what a lot of people who have multiple careers went through. I had partners in my first company.
Okay.
And partnerships like marriages aren't always intended to last forever.
That was well said. All right.
Way of saying
that. That was polite. Yep.
Right. And I was also burned out. I had two very young children. I was on the road a lot because I was a spokesperson for DRGs, putting mm-hmm. in 18-hour days and so forth. And we just came to a parting of the ways with the partnership. At the time, it was devastating because I was very conflicted.
Yep.
But I went off and bought an inn, the Victorian Inn on the New Jersey shoreline, in a little town called Spring Lake.
Oh, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And interest rates were 15% at that point. Got a 9-month note from the seller, mm-hmm. thinking, oh, it's got to get better. It was 21% by the time I got my permanent financing. So learned how to plaster wallpaper, do all of those other good things.
And yeah, but you were happy.
Yeah, I was.
All right, so now wait a second. For, you know, the listeners, one of the things you can do when you're doing some good work, but you can't stand, you know, what the situation is, you change it. You had enough nerve to say, yeah. this is just too onerous. I'm not energized. I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, something totally, totally
different. Uh-huh.
And I spent 10 years with the Inn before I sold them.
I didn't know it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
So now, when did you get back into the healthcare side? Because right now you're the owner of 6 Connecticut Griswold Special Care Offices, which we need to explain that, because they supply 700 caregivers for home care in Connecticut and geriatric choice consulting, correct?
Correct.
All right, so is that what you created after the Victorian Inn?
Yep. Yep, I came back, and my granddad had been very influential in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he had passed away because he had broken his hip, gone to the hospital, been put in a nursing home just temporarily. But for him, he was 89. It was the end of the line.
Yep.
He gave up the will to live, and he died within 3 weeks.
Oh, my.
So that was a totally devastating activity in my life. And when I sold the Inn, was fortunate enough that didn't have to scratch and scrape with a job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to do something in the community. I'd been very involved in the community with the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of not-for-profits.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw what Reverend and Jean Griswold had been doing in Philadelphia with this elder care model, keeping people at home and out of nursing homes.
Which at the time had been, you know, kind of cutting edge. There was not as much talk of that then, if I'm remembering
right.
The time frame right.
That's absolutely
mm-hmm.
correct. She started this, nearly 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't prevalent here. And there were very few options in this community in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I want to bring that here. I like that model. And so I brought it here. But then, as like most entrepreneurs, you don't stop at one level. It was very clear to me that in positioning the company, it had to be a statewide company. Otherwise, the insurance business wasn't up for grabs.
Yep.
Because insurance companies wouldn't want to deal with just a small mom and pop.
How large did you envision it at the time when you first started?
I was thinking about 6.
You had 6 in mind before, you know, early on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Why six?
Right from the beginning. Geography.
Like, you know, Danbury, you know, New Haven,
yeah, Waterbury,
Hartford, et cetera.
Yeah, Hartford, yeah. And there's another owner in Fairfield County,
mm-hmm.
and we're working with her on some of our live-in care.
Mm-hmm.
We very early decided that we had to have a specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is what?
For us, it's live-in care. That is,
okay.
We send someone in 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. and they actually live with the person.
Boy, so that was ambitious.
Yeah, so it's one-on-one care.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. No one else was doing that.
You don't exactly learn how to do that running in a Victorian Inn. Didn't you just get a little nervous running into, you know, going into something like this?
It's all nerve-wracking.
I mean,
if I can find the job or the opportunity or the task in front of me that doesn't make me nervous,
uh-huh.
it's probably too damn boring and I'm not stretching far.
Yeah, I you're a lot like most of my clients. You know, they're so bright that if they do something too simple, they'll get bored.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now think of it. I hope the listeners are really hearing this. You go into Connecticut and you say, I'm going to be the person that brings live-in care to older people where it's not been done before. Are you kidding? Talking about boldly going where no one's gone before. You're going to have people trust them. And I'm sure there's all this nervousness around, oh, they're going to rob from me. And I can't trust these people because I'm off at, you know, going to work and I'm scared enough about not having my mom taken care of and now I'm going to have a stranger and they probably can't speak English. I can just hear all the assumptions.
Well, yes, and all those assumptions were erroneous, but there's still attitudes that we have to overcome on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. I bet. The assumption is if an illegal alien who had, you know, somebody steal from them and they're, you know, I mean, all these, right?
That was initially, but it's changed. It's changed a lot now.
Well, a lot of it's changed because of what you've done, and you've got a good reputation.
And press has been very kind to us.
Yeah.
So we've been honored with many, many awards, and that has helped explain to people just what it is that we do and how it works, because the press has been telling the stories of the relationships that develop between the caregivers and the people. And also from an economic standpoint, the press has been interested. The business sections cover us a lot because they compare. They look in Connecticut, for example, and the nursing home costs, you're looking at $90,000 a year.
Right.
there is no way that any institution can give one-on-one care. It's not that they're bad people or that they don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's just that the economics preclude that.
See, I think one of the things you've done, when we talk about emphasize the elements that encourage expansion, mm-hmm. I think you've recognized that having the media support you and understand what you're doing has been important, because it didn't just happen. It's not just the media was interested. You've reached out, and, you know, you've done been active in the associations. You've done this communication with the hospitals. You know, you yourself have won things like the SBA Connecticut Businesswoman, Business Person of the Year, and you received an International Athena Award, and the International Franchise Association gave you Franchisee of the Year. I mean, there's a whole list.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you're, you know, you don't go and be so humble. It doesn't just happen to get the media on your side. That takes a lot of effort, right?
Well, but it's much easier to put forth the effort than put forth the money. Because the one thing that I don't have enough money to do is educate the population.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
population meaning, you know,
my particular client, but yes, the families in general. And I think that's true for most businesses.
Yep.
If you're considering a business where you have to educate people to buy what you have, mm-hmm. good luck.
You know, this is one of the things, what I'm saying, emphasizing the elements that encourage expansion, to go back to that. I don't think a lot of people who have state-of-the-art products or something that is confusing or be, you know, ahead of the curve use the media enough.
That's true.
I don't think they do it. They talk themselves out of public relations retainers, or they don't even go to an advertising agency to get help. And you're a good example of somebody that knew, if we're going to do this in Connecticut, we want everybody educated, and we're going to use the associations, the media, the broadcast media, the print media to do that.
Right. And it's still a challenge. It's still a challenge.
Well, you're not in an easy business.
Nope.
Have you used the media to also attract some of the people running your individual branches? Has that helped with that?
A lot of our people came in that way, but primarily that's been grassroots networking.
Okay. Well, after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to find out how Leslie helps, you know, by involving her people, how she's re-engineered her business over time. This is not an easy business, and she makes it look like it's really like a simple dance. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Get dialed in, 1-866-233-7861. Up to the minute business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then you need to tune in to Learner on Immigration every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio.
Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on current immigration laws and allow you to call in and have your questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Lerner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome back to The Growth Strategist. I'm Aldana Ambler, and we're helping mid-market companies kind of stay energized today as they work too hard. And my guest today is Leslie Mills, who runs Griswold Special Care in Connecticut. I already have a question that's been sent to me online. Somebody wants to know, Leslie, how do you attract, picking up on what I left off on here, how do you attract and what do you look for in your franchisees, you know, for your individual offices? What do they have in common? What are they like?
For the managers of the offices?
Yes.
You mean? Mostly it's an affinity for the business. That has to come first. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in attracting salespeople, you know, from a traditional sales background who just want to look at numbers, because this is a very soft business. Mm-hmm. And in particular, our sales model is very difficult because when we're calling on our referral sources, that is discharge planners, social workers, and so forth, you never reach the point where you close the sale.
It's kind of a constant open-ended relationship
you're
trying to have.
It is a constant relationship.
Yep.
The very best you can get out of the meeting is, well, it looks like you're good people and you do good work, and if someone comes in my office that needs that, I'll be sure to think of you. And, you know, well, for most salespeople, that's just...
Oh, it would make them crazy if they're selling printing or something like that.
Yeah. So you have to have people who, with a lot of gravitas,
mm-hmm. you know,
they're very real and believable that they're going to put the client's needs first and foremost over business growth.
I would imagine that there's nuances in those relationships that you have to watch, that there's subtleties of when they didn't call back or when the eye contact changed or when they didn't show up at an event. That type of relationship, almost like observation of what you're doing, will lead to different sales.
Well, very often when you're talking to a referral source, they will ask you questions that you know is based on past performance with other companies.
Mm-hmm.
And that is probably the greatest opportunity that any salesperson has to answer correctly. But it really takes watching the person's eyes and their body language to see that they're poised and waiting for you to give the right or the wrong answer. And that, for example, in our business, it would be, what happens if someone calls you when the office is closed?
Yeah.
You know, they'll ask it very, you know, sort of very routinely.
Yeah.
But it's critical for me to be able to say, we don't have on-call people. Our managers take the call 24/7.
Mm-hmm. You can feel that the history of the question, though.
Oh, absolutely. And they leave this huge sigh of relief because healthcare is a 24/7 business.
Now, have you had to give training to the managers of the individual offices on how to pick up on those subtleties so that they can sense what your referral sources, because your referral sources are really important. You know, what are they really looking for?
Absolutely, and we have a whole list of questions that are likely to be asked,
mm-hmm.
how to answer them. We have people doing the case management for an extensive period of time before they ever go out and talk to anyone else. In fact, it's only been recently with the acquisition of a regional sales manager that we have anyone in that type of capacity. Always before, it's our actual case managers who are dealing with the referral sources. So we don't.
And now, why is that? Is that because they've been on the phone? They know the way people talk, and
they do. And it's going to be the case managers that the referral sources are calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they need to place the call for the family, and that referral source needs to be able to say to the family, "Oh, I know Wendy over in the Meriden office, and she is just the best."
That's cool.
You know, it's very different than, well, I had this nice sales girl drop by and, you know, she's got to do a good
thing. That's so true. Ah,
you know,
that's so
totally
true.
Different.
Now, how many employees do you have across this company now?
It ranges between 500 and 700. You talking about caregivers now?
Yes. Well, the whole thing, you know, the office plus the caregivers.
Between 500 and 700. Okay. It varies somewhat depending upon season.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday season is a very sad time for us. Mm-hmm. We lose a lot of clients. Most clients stay with us until they pass away.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, very hard on the caregivers. It's hard on the case managers because relationships are formed. We still have some clients that we've had caregivers with for 9, 10 years.
Wow. Now, how do you involve all those people with, you know, making decisions and keeping your business fresh?
Well, the first level is there are 14 people that run the administrative offices.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example of something that we just started working on.
Okay.
You know, we do hourly service, everything from 2 hours to 24 hours, but we specialize in live-in care,
mm-hmm.
so people who have one-on-one care. And we were looking at that and realizing that we needed to get the word out even more about our service, and so I challenged everyone in the company that they had to come up with 20 ideas over 15 categories, everything from caregiver recruitment to improvement of service, to marketing, follow-up, you name it, 50
wow,
categories.
Wow, 20 ideas.
Everybody had to have 20. 19 was not good enough. They had to have 20. Because, you know, sometimes it's that last juice from the orange
yep.
that's the sweetest.
Yep.
And if you stop at 18, you know, you've done the easy one.
Where'd you learn that?
Actually, from a group called Renaissance Executive Forum.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Brian Tracy is one of their people.
Yep.
And you told me a long time ago, loneliness is the enemy of entrepreneurism.
Yeah.
And that is so true. And so I've joined the Renaissance Executive Forum. And
good idea. Good
CEOs.
Idea.
Mm-hmm. So this is one of their ideas. Now, what I hadn't realized is that 20 times 14 people is a whole lot of ideas.
It sure is. So you had some processing to do to figure out, okay, which things can we do
yeah.
right away and which things are probably not possible. How did you handle all that?
We went through, and I gave 3 categories of ranking.
Mm-hmm.
That is ease of implementation, cost, and sort of general brilliance of the idea. So any idea, and the 5 of us on the final committee, any mm-hmm. of us could rank an idea between 0 and 9. Ultimately,
okay.
with some of those things. And then we ranked all those, thank God for Excel.
Mm-hmm.
We ranked all those. And then for the 5 people on the committee, I said, okay, you've got 20 votes. You vote for one, you must vote for one item in each of the 15 categories.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got 5 extra votes to spend. So we then cut it down to that level, and now we're meeting and we've parceled out, okay, what ideas are no-brainers, you know, needed implementation.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been doing them all along. What is just way beyond us for now and going on the back burner, and what do we need to do research on?
That's great.
So we've parceled those ideas out now to the committee members, and we're all off doing our barriers, cost of implementation, you know, Gantt chart type work on each of the ideas.
That's good.
And then I
bet there were some ideas where somebody in the field would think you weren't already doing it, and you were, and they just didn't know it.
And vice versa.
Yes, okay. Well, that's one of the reasons to ask for ideas. It also points out miscommunications that you never would have known about.
Well, that's true.
Sure.
I looked at it and I said, I thought we did that.
Yep.
You know, well, we used to, but we don't anymore.
Yep.
Because you can lose touch with your company and with your base. But I
put
$3,000 into the pot.
Yep.
And I said, okay, you know, every idea that gets implemented, $200 to the person. And then we're giving sort of intermediate bonuses on you know, what made to cut number 2 and cut number 3. And
you know, so it's not very expensive considering, but it's going to mean something to people that they got a little bit of money for the good idea. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
And now, have this resulted in reallocating anything, you know, on the budget, you know, changing how you spend money or changing what's important or rank, you know, pushing something up? Give me an example of something you've changed already.
Yellow Pages advertising.
Okay.
That's going to be the source of a lot of our funding new initiatives.
Huh. Yep. You know, you think about it, a family is going to be looking, you know, they go, I don't know where to start. And it doesn't occur to them necessarily to go to the social worker at a hospital or to talk to the doctor. They start flipping, the traditional Yellow Pages.
Well, that's what you think, but no, they don't.
Interesting.
No, they actually do go to the social worker. 94% of the people find Griswold Special Home Care through professional referral.
See, I thought that, but didn't you say you're going to be increasing Yellow Page ads?
Nope. The Yellow Page money...
Oh, I misheard it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Yellow Page money is going to be funding more web changes. We're setting up a universal calendar for all organizations that have anything to do with elder care and having to do with other disabilities that require home care, like the brain injury issues and so forth.
Okay.
So we can develop relationships with all those people saying, look, we're putting up a universal calendar for you. Post your events on here.
Uh-huh.
Promote yourselves on here.
Got you.
You know, get
well, like you say, it recognizes that people are going to the healthcare providers or the websites to get things. That's good.
Already, web advertising is equaling our Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
I used to be, years ago, I was surprised at who would call us from the Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that just went down no matter what we put in it. And the Yellow Page people aren't going to like me saying this, but it's just true. You got to get real about where people go.
I think the only danger and the one concern that I do have is that if a hospital refers two or three home care agencies, which is what they often do.
Yeah, they tend to do, sure.
If people go to the Yellow Pages and you don't have at least a respectable presence there, you might lose it to somebody else who's got a nice big...
Well, you know, marketing has this kind of background, it's a symphony, and it's got background music and it's got melody. And there's certain places that you just have to be for background music to show you're real.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you spend your energy and your time and the bulk of your money on it. You know, I mean, I think some directory ads online could kill you for not being on them, but you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of money. How do you keep these people who are going into these homes encouraged about this and feeling connected? At the end of the, you know, we have a break coming up in a couple of seconds. I want you to think about that, Leslie. How, you know, you got folks in the home that are fairly isolated. They're taking care of, a patient or an older person. How do you have them get that sense of connection, that they're part of something bigger than just themselves? After the break, we'll come back and see what Leslie says about that. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Handler.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching the brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back. This is Aldana Ambler. I'm The Growth Strategist on Voice America Business. And I think that we just said the telephone number. I'm going to repeat it. It's 1-866-233-7861. And I've been emailed a question. You know what? One of the things that you've done, Leslie, to grow your business is to get some visibility, because you did it today. Listeners who were wanting to contact you about being potential caregivers, how do they reach you, Leslie?
They can call us at 1-800-GRISWOLD, G-R-I-S-W-O-L-D. That's the easiest way. They can talk to me.
That's great. Because we, before the break, we left off with the question, how do you have your caregivers feel connected to this bigger, you know, more energized organization instead of feeling isolated? And probably, you know, a lot of that has to do with how you recruit them. Where do you get people?
If you were to open the advertising pages on a Sunday and go to healthcare, you'll see virtually every home care institution with big ads for caregivers, with bonuses to sign on and one thing or another. You'll almost never, ever see an ad for us for caregivers.
Ooh, how do you do it then?
The caregivers find us. And they do it through two sources. One is we recruit a lot through churches because we found that people who go to church have a good base and are likely to be good caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And we get good recommendations from people within the parish. The second is we hit upon a very novel idea that I still to this day don't understand why the competition doesn't do it, but I'll share this with you.
Yeah, it's just us girls.
Yeah, it's just us girls. We pay our caregivers better than anybody else, and we charge the client less than anyone else.
Ooh, that sounds like a hard way to live.
It's a hard way to live, but it's a great marketing opportunity because you get the best people. Now, what does that mean to the client? It means that there is, number one, you do get the best client. We choose one out of every 10 applicants because we have an incredibly strict screening process.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we don't even take written letters of recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk to 5 previous employers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have very strict screening.
Mm-hmm.
We pay better than anybody else. They leave their jobs much less frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are private pay, our clients are 99% private pay. We don't work for the insurance companies. We don't do Medicare. We don't do Medicaid.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It means that our caregivers are going into nicer homes.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps them stay on the job because we have very experienced people and they've experienced other circumstances.
And I find with, you know, an organization that's on the winning side, that, you know, they've done a good job, they've got a good reputation, they're getting awards, that your employees bring in their friends. They want to, it's like a magnet. It attracts. This is where it's being done well.
That's why we don't advertise.
It
all comes through, word of mouth. But still, that loneliness factor, just as an entrepreneurism, as you speak of it, we do a number of things. We're on the phone with them very frequently. The case managers are wonderful in supporting the caregivers. We do home visits, both surprise home visits and scheduled home visits.
Okay.
We bring them in for education. They can come in for for educational classes. We do caregiver events. One year we did a steamboat trip up the Connecticut River.
Oh, that's fun.
And you know, took them all out on the river for a day and then took them to a mall to go shopping. We did that. On the education, if they don't come into the office, we have videos and things that we take out. And then they watch the videos and take tests and we confer over the phone. So we try very hard to keep the people engaged.
You know, in our client list over the years, we've exchanged ideas for those kind of things with people. And, you know, I got an idea like that from a client where we had the administrative staff go on a boat trip. It was a three-masted schooner, and it went up the Maurice River, you know, a trip to nowhere. But it's the first time that, you know, most people had ever been on, you know, a sailing vessel of any kind. So they were like little kids. Oh, we had such fun. And the amount of money I spent on, you know, the rental of this three-masted schooner and the tuna fish that we had for lunch, you know, it was no big deal. But we must have talked about it for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Easily.
Yep. Well, I'm about to do that with the Quinnipiac, which is a three-masted schooner here.
It's fun. Now, you're doing this, and now you're visible, and you're what I call above the radar. So what happens is that brings out competitors, no?
Too many.
So what are you faced with now?
Well, right now in my New Haven area market, for example, there are 8 competitors that have come in since I started.
8 just in New Haven?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Ouch.
And that's new competitors. And they fall into 2 categories. The first category is nationwide. There have been a number of franchises that have set up that, and those people are in the business of selling franchises.
Yep.
There's a very big difference between people who are in the business of doing home care and people who are in the business of selling franchises.
Right. Some of the multi-tier marketing things. You know,
exactly.
They're not really selling, you know, whatever the product was. They're selling somebody who's selling.
That's right.
Yep.
So they're getting the upfront fees. And,
How long are they going to last? Do you think they're going to be there a while?
Well, it's hard to tell. They will have some staying power because these companies are set up with significant investors.
Yep.
So they've got very, very deep pockets for advertising.
How?
Which, you know, more local companies generally don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, very slick marketing presentations.
So do you shift your emphasis from New Haven, or do you wait it out? Do you get more aggressive? What are you doing?
Well, waiting has never worked for me on
just
about anything, including finding boyfriends. But I hear that that's not always the best strategy.
What was your telephone number again?
For me, it was critical that I have satellite offices.
Yep.
And initially, I set them up because I was interested in doing some of the private insurance work, that is long-term care insurance work. And I thought it would reduce my overhead. Actually, initially they were a big distraction for me, but as my central office has come under, you know, threat of all of these new competitors, it's been the growth of the satellites that has helped stabilize the business overall from a sales perspective.
That's another example of thinking bigger to help protect you for the core, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, not having all your eggs in one basket.
That's right.
This has been crucial to my stability. So I've done that.
And you can shift some of the managers from one office to the next if you need to, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do. You know, and we sped our marketing, of course. We do that centrally, but we do it for all of the offices.
No, you're not the type to sit there sucking your thumb and saying, I've got 8 competitors, so I'm going to whine and cry and stay home.
Right.
I think it probably juices you up to, okay, here we go.
Yeah. it's a different approach. You find
yourself,
the company grows, focusing on different aspects of the business.
Well, you know, knowing you, you may turn around and acquire a couple of them, so if I'll watch you, I'll talk to you in like 6 months and say, okay, Leslie, did you buy out some of your competitors, or did they just go away?
Well
I want to thank you for being a guest today. Because I think, you know, you've done just a ton of stuff, and, you know, just the 1-hour program can't possibly capture all the things that you've tried to do in Connecticut. So I give the listeners your number again, because really, seriously, this is a person that I want everybody to know.
It is 1-800-GRISWOLD, G-R-I-S-W-O-L-D, and the website is homecare-ct.com. com.
Excellent.
And I just wanted to say thank you to you for your growth is like a guerrilla strategy idea. You know, you don't stop when you're tired. You stop when the gorilla's tired.
It's so true. I appreciate you being on the show. Let me foreshadow some of the ones that are coming up. Next week, we're going to have just an absolute energized character. This guy is just fabulous. If you read Fortune Small Business, you know the name Vern Harnish because he's their growth guy. And he's the president and owner of Gazelles. And so he travels internationally doing seminars on, you know, fast growth companies. And he's affiliated with various thought leaders out in the marketplace. So you're going to have a good time listening to him talk about new products and services for existing markets. 2 weeks from now, on May 24th, a hot show. It's going to be Linda Rosanio of STAR. It's an advertising agency, very aggressive entrepreneur, very bright, with Dr. Barbara Gittenstein, who is the chief honcho over the College of New Jersey, which is an award-winning school. And we're going to be talking about how do you attract and retain A players, you know, that top talent, because both of these women have figured out how to do that. You should hear the transformation they've made in their organizations. On May 31st, we're going to be talking to Larry Teflin. He runs a IBM, what do they call it, an inside exchange group, you know, for the business partners for IBM. We're going to be talking about strategic alliances and joint ventures with him. And on June 7th, Karen Francini of the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, talking about financing. How do you use and leverage government offices to help the growth of your business? Everybody think about their business as something that's a living, breathing organism for the week. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.